Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I've a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, this is definitely the place for you. I'm Betty Jo Tucker, your host, and the first thing I want to do is thank my terrific producer, Nikki Starr, for all her help. Hi, Nikki. I'm so glad you could be on the show today when we're going to be talking about zombie movies. How are you?
Hello, Blog Talker Radio. I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you here. We couldn't do the show without you. And as you know, this is our third Horror Month program on Movie Addict Headquarters. And today, our special guest is noted film critic Frank Wilkins. Frank is one of our fine contributors to RealTalkReviews.com, and he also runs a very popular movie site of his own called Frank's Real Reviews. But I think Frank and I have very different opinions about the main movie that we're going to be talking about today, 28 Weeks Later, which, by the way, was released last Tuesday on DVD, so our discussion could get a little scary itself. And before I forget, we've extended Movie Addict Headquarters to 30 minutes in order to take call-ins later in the show, which probably means I should give out that number. It's 646-478-5668. That's 646-478-5668. Now, it's my great pleasure to welcome Frank Wilkins to the show. Hi, Frank. Are you ready to talk about zombies?
I'm ready. Thanks for having me, Betty Jo.
It's my pleasure to have you here. And I, you know, when I first saw 28 Weeks Later, I thought it was a very scary movie. But there may be some people who are listening in who haven't seen the film yet. So I'd like to explain a little bit about it, and then, of course, I'll give you the floor, Frank, to either disagree or agree with some of the things I say. But it's the sequel to 28 Days Later, which really was so popular when it was released because it was a new kind of zombie movie,
right.
And it showed a virus infecting people living in England that turned them into flesh-eating zombies. But if I remember right, they're not the plodding, old-fashioned type of zombies seen in, like, Shaun of the Dead. No siree.
Right.
This one's a rage virus, causing victims to become hyper and hysterical to the point of running around, bashing anything and anyone in their way into a bloody pulp. And in this sequel, it's believed the rage virus has been destroyed. For some reason or other, which I can't figure out still, the U.S. Army is in charge of reconstruction and the return of refugees to London. Well, the sequel focuses on a particular family among these refugees, centering on a brother and his older sister, who end up being chased relentlessly by these newly infected zombies, but not just by them, as well as by the forces who are charged with annihilating the virus. Frank, this movie scared the socks off me, and I desperately wanted the brother and sister to survive. I also was so happy that it was different because it really emphasized some values that you usually don't see in horror movies. Themes like courage, morality, the greatest good, and family loyalty in a crisis situation. But you have the floor now, Frank. What was your reaction to 28 Weeks Later?
Yeah, I do agree with you. It was very, very, very scary. But I just didn't care as much for the movie as you did. I appreciated and enjoyed some of the individual scenes and some of the action sequences were spectacular and quite scary, but there's just really not enough substance under the hood, I don't think. You know, they got the scary part right, but zombie movies have always had that second layer, you know, that political subtext that has something insightful to say about the state of the world or, you know, the decline of civilization. I just think they missed that opportunity here. You know, they did make some references to the war in Iraq, and as you mentioned, you know, the American forces stationed there, but I think they just could have gone further and perhaps could have taken more of a stand. Another thing, I didn't really care too much about the characters here, especially the two children. You know, you mentioned...
Oh, no!
You really cared for them. Well, I think they made some really stupid decisions that put everyone in danger, you know, and so it kind of put me off, you know. Kind of like if you'll remember the attorney earlier this year that got on that plane, you know, with the resistant strain of tuberculosis and endangered so many people. You remember how outraged some people were?
That's oh, my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
You know, that's kind of how I felt. You know, it's like, they put me off. I didn't care for them. You know, they didn't talk very much and really didn't do anything to make me want to help them. You know, I found myself more interested in getting to the next gore scene or how the next zombie was going to get killed or how the next non-infected human was going to be eaten than I was for their well-being. And that's, you know, it's kind of backwards, you know. I really should, you know, I should have a strong emotional attachment to the heroes that, you know, should in turn make me want to root for them and draw me into the story, but that just didn't seem to happen for me. You know, and that's probably due more to the script than anything else, but character to viewer connection just wasn't there, and as a result, I just didn't really care for them.
That's interesting, and I did, because I thought they were so loyal to each other, and that really, really got to me. So that would make a big difference in whether or not a person in like this film, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I see what you're saying, you know, that, you know, they had that strong brother-sister tie, but they really put me off, and I just, you know, it made me realize I'm just watching a movie, and I'm not caring about the characters in it. So it's just,
you don't like to feel that way when you're watching a movie,
nope,
do you?
No.
You want to say, oh, this is really happening.
Right.
This is...
you want to kind of put yourself in their situation, you know. But, you know, I didn't want to be anywhere near them.
Well, what did you think about the cinematography? I usually have a lot of trouble with the jerky handheld cinematography, and there was a lot of that in this film, which bothered me somewhat, but for some reason or other, I thought it added to the suspense and the intensity of the situation.
It did, you know, and there's a reason why they did it. I don't like the movies that have that jerky camera movement for no real reason, but there was definitely a reason for it in this film, you know, the hectic, frantic nature of everything, but boy, there were times when it just was way too distracting. And it almost seemed like sometimes they're covering up, you know, something, or, you know, we don't have a special effect for this sequence, so let's just move the camera around. It got real distracting. And it's usually not a big issue for me, but it did bring attention to itself for me.
I thought that it was just unbelievably blurry in places, so that you couldn't tell what was happening, and I think you're probably right on that. They were just trying to cover up things that they couldn't show because they weren't sure exactly what was happening themselves.
Right, right.
So that would be my biggest complaint about that particular movie. But overall, it really worked for me and gave me a few nightmares, and that's the kind of thing that I ask for in the horror movies that I see. But I remember reading your review of 28 Days Later. That's the original movie.
Yes.
That, I love that review, Frank, and I remember the title, Not Your Daddy's Zombie Movie.
Yeah, right.
Which I thought was such a great title. So I know that you liked that a lot better than this one. And why don't you tell a little bit why you felt that way?
Well, I think part of maybe why I liked it better was, maybe that it came first and 28 weeks later just didn't do enough things differently to distinguish itself.
Oh.
It felt a little thin and too much like it was just trying to copycat and capture some of that magic again, you know, like they're, you know, it was very stylistic, you know, with that rock and roll soundtrack, and it just was too much like 28 days later. But I think another reason, simply put, is Danny Boyle, you know, who of course directed the first film. His, you know, unique digital camera work gave the film that distinctive, stark, bleached out, desolate feeling, you know, that was something kind of new at the time. It's becoming overused a bit as of lately, but it created a very, very, very scary environment. You know, a large segment of the beginning of his film was Cillian Murphy's character just walking around the streets alone, and that was very creepy. You know, he created this nightmarish, post-apocalyptic scenario of what it might be like if we were left alone in the world. You know, kind of similar to Charlton Heston roaming the streets in The Omega Man.
Oh, yes, that did have a reminded you a little bit of that.
Yeah, and there, you know, like I said, a significant portion of the movie was that, so it, you know, it allowed you to put yourself kind of in that situation. And I think this played off of our 9/11 fears as well. As you know, the movie came out shortly after that, and we remember seeing ashen-faced people, you know, roaming the streets aimlessly, you know, so there was kind of a disturbing connection there. And I think another thing that was effective in the first film was the neat little twist that you mentioned that Boyle and his screenwriter worked into the mix. While not the first to do it, you know, was when the zombie, you know, would zoom from 30 yards away in about 3 seconds. You know, that was some really scary stuff. You know, we're used to zombies that stumble around slowly, groaning with their arms out in front of them. You know, like what we know from George Romero.
Right, that's the way we've always thought of zombies,
right?
Until this time.
Yeah, but the fact that you can't outrun them, you know, that just ratcheted up the stakes that much higher. So,
yes, I've always thought I could outrun a zombie until
yeah.
I saw 28 days later.
You know, they were their advantage was always numbers. You know, they could surround you and walk slowly, but now that they can surround you and run fast, it's a whole different conundrum you're in. So.
I think it's really interesting that the reason that I couldn't get into 28 Days Later is the same reason that you couldn't get into 28 Weeks Later. I had trouble identifying with the main character. So,
mm-hmm.
So there's the key. There's the key. If you can somehow sympathize, empathize, care about the characters in a horror movie, then you go with it.
Right.
So that probably is the reason that we've disagreed on these movies. I was wondering if you had a favorite zombie movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm a bit old school in almost every way, I think, which is a little bit puzzling because I'm not that old, but I really like Romero's Night of the Living Dead, you know, the 1968, you know, the
ooh, brr.
You know, that he was able to be so effective with so little is just really impressive to me, you know. And at that time, zombies were an original concept, you know, and to this day, I'm still not able to completely put my fingers around why that film works, but it just does.
That was a classic for sure,
yeah.
And whenever, I'll bet that at least over half of the people that would be asked that question would probably come up with.
I think so. Well, and especially, too, if you ask, you know, horror filmmakers, they probably go back to that one quite frequently, too.
Yeah,
I also liked Romero's Land of the Dead from a couple of years ago. His, you know, Romero's satire is just a beautiful thing to see, and Dennis Hopper was just great in that movie. More recently, I liked Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror, you know, part of the
Grindhouse
double bill, and, you know, who knows, maybe it's going back to that old school throwback feel of it, the reason I liked it, but that was another good one.
I think mine is Shaun of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
And that's probably because of the comedy element.
Right.
That, what a great scene when the characters pretend to be zombies to fool the zombies, the real zombies.
Right.
That was I just love the idea of the comedy being incorporated in zombie films, and there's a little horror gem that's out there that maybe not too many people have seen, and so I wanted to take a chance and let everybody hear about it. It's called Dead and Breakfast. Have you heard of that one, Frank?
Have not heard of that one.
Dead and Breakfast. It's just a hoot, and it's like a combination of the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Shaun of the Dead. But there's music in it, there's comedy in it, there's plenty of gore and scary parts in it. So if you get a chance, it was never shown on the big screen. It just went straight to DVD.
Right.
So take a look at that one. Nikki is awfully quiet. I was wondering, Nikki, do you have a favorite zombie movie?
It's Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, okay.
Yes.
Well, people would certainly mention that. I have to ask, because this is very, very intriguing to me. Next week we'll be discussing vampires, as you know. So I wanted to ask you which film creatures you consider scarier, zombies or vampires?
To me, zombies.
Zombies are scarier than vampires.
Yeah, they are. And I think the main reason, as we mentioned before, you know, there's just so many of them. You know, with vampires, there's usually, you know, just a few here and there. But, you know, the zombies, and especially now that we know that they can run so fast, you know, I just think we can be more quickly overwhelmed by a pack of zombies than vampires. And also, is the life of a vampire that bad, you know, if you think about it, you know?
Right. And for me, it's the process of dying.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so the process of dying or getting, you know, killed by a zombie would be so much worse than the process of getting bitten by a vampire.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, especially if the vampire looked like some of the vampires that you see in films.
Right.
Absolutely.
They're so seductive. So I know they're definitely more seductive and better, easier on the eye than the zombies. The zombies could scare you to death just by the way they look.
Right. Do you want a couple of holes in the neck, or do you want to have an arm and a leg chewed off?
Chewed off. Well,
while you're still awake watching.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wondered about your the all-time best horror films. If you had to make a list of the five top horror films, what movies would be on that list, Frank?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to go back to that old school well again, and then kind of begin to cross that line as to what is really a horror movie. But some of my favorites are the Shining, the original Halloween, Friday the 13th, the version one, Hitchcock's Psycho, and I just love James Whale's 1931 Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, that one's my favorite.
Yeah, and I even thought the 2006 remake of The Hills Have Eyes was pretty effective, and then last year's The Descent was really scary.
Which one from last year?
The Descent.
The Descent.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about creepy.
Yeah. And then recently, this year, 1408, you know, that just came out on DVD a few weeks ago. That was very scary.
The one with Samuel L. Jackson
and John Cusack.
John Cusack. Well, you have a terrific list there. This is probably a good time to ask Nikki if we have any callers that would like to join and talk about zombies and horror films.
Yes, we do.
Great.
Thank you for holding 715. You are on the air.
Hi, this is AJ the Mad Movie Man calling.
Oh, I'm so glad you could call in, AJ. AJ has, Frank, I don't know whether you've officially met him, but he's one of your colleagues, too, on Real Talk Reviews. Say hi to AJ.
Hey, AJ.
How's it going, Frank?
Good.
And AJ has his own radio show also. That's why he introduced himself as the Mad Movie Man. He's the Mad Movie Man of the University of Wisconsin at River Falls. So, and he's also our horror expert at Real Talk Reviews. He'll be our guest reviewer next week on Movie Addict Headquarters when we talk about vampires. So, AJ, do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make?
Well, first off, I have to make a confession. I am one of the few stubborn people that refuse to call 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later zombie movies.
I knew that was coming.
I just refuse. They're not zombies. They're infected people, and I am just so stubborn about this, and I have gotten into various debates about it over the years, but... And I was talking this about my with my radio show co-host last week, and how, well, since the it's the rage virus at work in these, then the same should apply to the Resident Evil movies, where it's a virus that's turning everybody into zombies. But I still think of those as zombie movies because they are the more traditional, like shuffling undead types. And here, it's just people who are just kind of crazy and run around a lot.
Well, and wouldn't the main difference, I guess technically the difference be that zombies have died and become reanimated, and then here the people are infected with the virus and they don't really die, they just, you know, go crazy basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, the world changes, time changes. And I accept the 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later characters or creatures or ghouls as zombies. So I guess I'm going to have to disagree with you on that, AJ. But I think it's a good point. Going back to the original zombies, they were, what, a curse? A curse had been placed on people so that after they died, they were reanimated and brought back to life without any conscience or sense of consciousness. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, it all kind of differs because like you said, there were different zombies like before the Romero style came into place, where they kind of populated movies like White Zombie and I Walked with a Zombie, like those 1930s and 40s really atmospheric movies that were more depicted more as just like mindless slave under the influence of like a drug or something that just kind of made them really, really susceptible to suggestion and that stuff. So yeah, I could see that, you know, about that evolution from that to the more violent ones these days.
But I'm easy though, because I even accept singing and dancing zombies. Dead and Breakfast.
I have seen Dead and Breakfast. Those are zombies. I'm with you there. Those are zombies. I like that one a lot.
Even though they sing and dance. And that had a little bit of Kill Bill in it too, with Ever Carradine and kind of in the Uma Thurman role as being the one, the heroine that fought these creatures against all obstacles. I just think it's a little gem. But the evolution of zombies, now there's a topic for a doctoral research paper, right?
Well, you know, and Betty Jo, and I know AJ knows about this, but if you get on the Internet and you know, just type in something as simple as zombies, you can find tons of ongoing discussions about exactly what Adam's talking, you know, what he's talking about. You know, are they really zombies? Are they not? Technically, here's a zombie, but the way I look at it is, there really is no such thing as a zombie. So a zombie can be what I want it to be. You know?
Oh,
if you
Humpty Dumpty. A word means what I say it means.
right. But yeah, it's very interesting out there, and I know that camp he comes from, and they're definitely. Have good points for their side of the discussion.
Well, while AJ is on the line, what is your favorite zombie movie?
I think I'm pretty much going to go for the stock answer on this, the original version of Dawn of the Dead, I have to say.
Yay!
That's a
good choice.
it's hard to top it. You know, it does have the gore and scare factor, but it does have the social commentary that, although the Dawn of the Dead remake was pretty good, it didn't quite pack as much of a bite as Romero did back in the day. So I just got to go with the classics on this one.
Well, what about the zombie movies that Sam Raimi did, the ones with Bruce Campbell, who's one of my favorites?
Oh, yes.
Very campy, weren't they, if I remember correctly?
Well, that's another kind of series that kind of evolved kind of weirdly, because the first Evil Dead was just very much straight out in-your-face horror, and it was, back for its day, it was really extreme and really scary. Then the second one kind of added that little comedic element into it, so you had the scares and the laughs at the same time. And then the third one, Army of Darkness, that just kind of went not as much of a serious horror movie anymore. It was still a lot of fun, but it wasn't so much set on horror.
It was just. I every time I see it, it's showing on television, I have to watch it because it. You can tell I need the comedy with the horror,
mm-hmm.
especially with the zombies. But
you're a true movie addict.
That's right. This, after all, is Movie Addict Headquarters.
AJ, not to put you on the spot here or anything, but I'd like to get your opinion on. You know, we discussed the. Basically, the fast-moving zombies here, and from what I understand, it's not a completely original concept to these films. Do you have any idea where that first appeared in film? The zombie that wasn't the shuffling zombie.
I'm not sure about that. I know that because of the success of 28 Days Later, that the sort of Dawn of the Dead remake kind of switched over to the fast-moving zombies era, but I'm not sure where it started, if it was, beyond 28 Days Later or anything like that, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It may have been in 28 Days
Later. I got into a discussion with someone back when 28 Days Later came out, and they had pointed out, here's the movie that it first appeared in, and I do not recall. I want to say it was Return of the Living Dead or something right around.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
I'm going to research that, and next week, when you're the guest reviewer, AJ, we'll have a definitive answer, because that is a good question. When did the fast-moving zombies enter the picture. I think our time is almost up. Is that right, Nikki?
That is correct.
It just went by so fast. Well, we're talking about zombie movies, so naturally it went by fast. And I want to thank you very much, Frank, for being such a wonderful guest. And AJ, it was great that you could call in, and it makes me even more eager to hear more from you next week. And Frank, I hope you'll come back again soon.
I certainly will.
Oh, thanks so much. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the people at Blog Talk Radio for their support and connection with this show. Special thanks to my producer, Nikki Starr, and to everyone who listened, and to those who are going to access the archive segments. Please come back next time to hear a discussion of 30 Days of Night, a chilling new vampire movie starring Josh Hartnett. Our guest will be, as I've mentioned before, mad movie man and horror expert A.J. Hockery. In the meantime, check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, to close the show, here's A.J. Daniels with a song Nikki and I are dedicating to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Stay with me and be shall love you, then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be true.